save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 805. Lance is in Los Angeles. You had a plane last night?
Yeah, flew in last night. I'm trying to think if anything interesting happened.
Well, I had in the airport yesterday.
What's that?
I came back from Springfield last night.
Oh yeah. How'd spring game go?
Spring game was pretty good. We played pretty well, and then at the end, kind of fell off because that's all they do is throw 5 yard outs. But so yesterday our flight's at 2, and got home at 10. Yeah.
Ooh,
our flight was at 2, and we got on the plane and we sat in sweat on the tarmac, and then they said, okay, everybody get off the plane because we don't have any oil. And we said, well, shouldn't you just put some oil in the plane? That'd be great. Yeah, well, we can't because there's no mechanic here. Okay, so they had to fly in a plane. You would think that would cost less to have a mechanic on hand to put oil in a plane than it would to be fly another plane in from another city to come and get people and then fly back. You would think that would be the case.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, no.
Okay. So, my flight was at 6:15, and I'm thinking, okay, that gets me in LA time of 2 more hours to get back. I get in at 7:30, like, you know, that's fine. I got to go to LAX, get the rental car. I got a lot of clothes. I got a lot of luggage. I don't usually travel like this, but I'm going to be here for 7 days and on TV for 5 of them. And so more luggage than I ever take anywhere. And like 2 big bags and 1 hanging bag that I was carrying around with me. And then a computer bag from other stuff, you know. And but then we had some delays getting in because there's a little congestion here. Well, as we get up, we're going to try to pull up into our, you know, gateway so you guys can get off and get on with your day. Okay, Skippy. And so then, you know, that's not on site. The rental car stuff's not on site. So by the time I got in here, I got the Comrex on, got it tested and everything. It was 9:30 my time, 11:30 p.m., you know, central time. And then to bed, I didn't get to bed until after whatever midnight would have been your time. And then find out the Comrex only kind of works. I can hear perfectly. I can hear the show great. It connects. I guess my voice just goes in and out, which is why I'm doing it on the phone. But today is too big of a day because we've got I'm not going to be able to I'll be able to do a call-in on Friday after the draft and do some of that, but I got a meeting at 5:30 a.m. my time, which is 7:30 central time, because we have to do TV that morning of all the picks that went down. And, of course, the team that I follow won't have a pick in the first round. And Brian Gain, I don't know if you followed any of his commentary, John, on Thursday at his meeting, but it sounds like he's not like there's a chance he could trade up, but I don't think he's going to be very aggressive in giving up additional picks. I think he looks at 3/3 as 3 future players on his roster. And I think if it falls far enough into the second that he will consider, you know, moving a pick, I don't think he wants to give up 2/3. So I think he'd rather give up a third and maybe a fourth to move up into the back half of the second. I don't think he's interested in packaging 2 of his thirds up. So I don't know that I get super excited about the Texans moving up inside the top 50. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to be, I don't want to say conservative, but how crazy are you as your first, you know, GM? your first moves as a GM, and especially when you don't have all that much to deal with and you've got so much that you've got to do. I don't know if you're packaging up and losing picks, to tell you the truth. I don't know that. And I'm not sure that's a smart move. Is one guy in the second round going to make all that big a difference? Or would you rather, would you rather have one guy towards the end of the second round or three third rounders?
I'd rather have three third rounders.
Yeah.
But it would probably cost you 2 seconds. But frankly, yeah, if that's interesting, yeah. I think I'd rather keep all my thirds. I think that'd be too much to give up, honestly. I think you're probably looking at maybe a fourth to move up from third. You're flip flopping, and maybe they get a fourth for it. If you have to give up two thirds, the more I think about it, John, the more holes that are on this team, I don't think that's worth it to move into the second, even for a tackle.
No. He better be awfully good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He better be awfully good.
Boy, is this draft known for having good tackles in it?
Yeah, right. And especially third rounders or late second rounders, right? Right.
Yep, the good guys, the better players are all going to be picked over. I'm telling you, this is a miserable tackle draft. And the guy that I like, and this is how bad this is, I didn't even like him on tape when I watched him this year. I thought he was overrated. And then I thought he was good at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. It's Joseph Noteboom from TCU. He's going to go in the second round. Of all the guys I'm looking at for the Texans to target, I'm like, yeah, Noteboom's the best. There's like not even really any question about it. And they're going to have to move into the second to get him. And he makes sense for what they like. You know, he fits the physical standards. But I think he's probably going in the top 55 picks. So I'm not sure that the Texans will take a shot with him. 55 starts getting close. What, you have 62 picks in the first, 64 picks, I guess. Yeah, it probably needs to get into from 55 on is where the Texans could look to potentially move up. But if they're going to do that, they got to be doing it, John, for a guy they see as an early starter, like an early starter at corner or an early starter at tackle. And I just don't know if they're going to do that.
Well, and that's just it. Get a couple of linemen or a couple of defensive backs and a lineman with those third round picks, and then you just see if they can play. There's guys that always there are always guys that slip, but quite frankly, I'd rather take a chance on a couple of third round defensive backs that might be able to get in there and play than I would on a lineman. If you want to know the truth,
so if you look at the history of it, so I've got this guy from a team sent me a chart of the history of where starters come from. And cornerback, defensive back, and wide receiver are your best chance, and running back, frankly. I mean, but really for what the Texans need, defensive back is your best shot to go find a starter in rounds three and beyond. That's your best shot historically to find players as at the cornerback position in rounds three and beyond. And I do see, and they can get help. Like, they can get better at cornerback or even safety in those rounds, because I wouldn't sleep on safety. I know they need corners, but, man, it's not like they're loaded at safety. They got Matthew on a – does he have a 1 or 2 year deal?
Matthew's got a 1 year deal.
Year deal, yeah. So, really, you don't know what he's going to do next year. You can't act like he's now your player for the next 3 or 4 years. So you got to be looking at the safety position like you look at cornerback. I mean, it's an absolute need. For my sports map article, I am going to be – this is going to come out Wednesday morning, and it will actually be pre-written. It's going to be all of the players that I think – most of the players that I think the Texans should be targeting with the three third-round picks. I'm going to focus on the third round, and I'll discuss some other positions, but I'm going to focus on those three third-round picks and try to find guys that I think the Texans will look for. So – this is the best place. We'll have it at Sports Map. You won't have anyone else that has, I think, the ability to. I know these players. I kind of know what the Texans like and are looking for. So hopefully, I'll give you a pretty good insight into what they could be looking for. I'll tell you what, there is the guy that could fall in this draft, believe it or not, is Saquon Barkley. There's a chance that Saquon Barkley could fall at least to number 7, which might be shocking, but. Even if he falls past 7, then you're looking at, will Tampa pull the trigger on Saquon? I think they would. But if they didn't, would Chicago with Jordan Howard there? Would San Francisco? Who did San Francisco have? They just got rid of Carlos Hyde. Yeah, I think San Francisco would be the next one. But then you got Kyle Shanahan over there, who comes from the Alex Gibbs school of don't get a running back in the first round because you can find running backs. Raiders at 10, you'd almost have to think the worst he would fall to is Raiders at 10 since Marshawn Lynch is on the way out.
I don't think he gets past the Browns at 4.
I don't think so, but if he does, he could slide a little bit.
Yeah, right. No, that's where...
That's the key.
That's the right there. Right. He's either 4, you're right. He could be 4 or 10, one of the two.
He's the guy that could slide. I think Quentin Nelson will be between 5 and 8. Denzel Ward, he's a really hard one. He could be as high as 5. I think he's 5 and 8 also. Roquan Smith, somewhere between 6 and 10. So a lot of these guys, you know the guy that's moving up maybe? And I mentioned this the other day on the show, that I thought New England and Lamar Jackson might be interested. And they interviewed him, and they liked him. But maybe this is just them talking. You don't know. But I hear Ozzie Newsome likes Lamar Jackson at pick number 16 with the Ravens. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to move up this board. I think he's the guy that's going to make a move up. And the guy that could actually fall a little bit would be Josh Allen. Josh Allen could fall to number 5 if he's not pick number 1. And if Denver doesn't really like him, then he could fall all the way to, I guess, wherever Buffalo trades up to go get him, or Arizona, or even Miami. So Josh Allen is the one guy that could fall a little bit in this draft.
Hmm. All right. It's 8-6.
Well, besides Josh Rosen. I mean, I have no idea where Josh Rosen is going to go.
And Arden Key.
Oh, Arden Key. If Arden Key goes in the third round, he should count himself lucky.
Wow. That bad. Wow.
There are people who say, it's bad enough when you have one strike against you, one red flag, that's a big concern. Two red flags are usually off a board. Here's what Arden Key has had. Ballooned up to 270 pounds. Went missing for 4 months, but potentially in a rehab. Shoulder issues that required surgery, and he hasn't even done a bench press rep yet at any of his at combine or at his pro day. His testing was poor. His personal character is considered spotty. Like there are and his production wasn't good. Like there's so many red flags on Arden Key right now that a lot of teams I've talked to just said he's not touchable. Which is absolutely not touchable for us.
Wow.
And this guy was considered a top 5 pick headed into the season.
All right. 713-780-3776. Chuck, you're in on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, that's right. Good call, JD. The 49ers gave Jerick McKinnon big money this offseason. So,
well,
they're not taking
kind of. I saw a tweet. I was reading up on it. So it's a 4-year, $36.9 million, but in reality is along the lines of a 1-year deal with the team having options after 18. So if they want out, they can get out immediately.
Yeah, but I don't know that they take running back since they just did that, right?
Well, they may not. I mean, it depends on how special you think Saquon Barkley is. I mean, it may be where you say, no. And, you know, frankly, I don't think he's the best zone scheme runner, so they might not take him. They have other needs that are way bigger, and they could pass if he were to fall. So somebody's going to fall way further than we think.
Yeah.
It's either going to be Allen, Rosen, and I think Rosen is more likely, Barkley. And honestly, I'm not sure where Chubb goes. I mean, I think Chubb could be interesting, too. If he doesn't go 4, Denver could take him at 5. I guess the Colts could take him at 6. They have that need. 7, Tampa just got Jason Pierre-Paul. The Bears could use him at 8. I mean, he's just too good a player. I just can't see him falling. I have a hard time believing these quarterbacks are all getting pushed up the board. And they're just clearly not as good as the other players in front of them. That's crazy to me. I wonder if there's going to be a team that says, yeah, we're not doing that because we already know the Jets are picking at three. I mean, picking quarterback. And I've got to assume the Browns are at one. And then two is going to be for sale for a quarterback pick. So, I don't know. We'll see. We got a very important question to hear about Kevin Johnson. It came from Concept Mayhem. Came from our old friend Eric Cartman. He says, I want to make sure I get this. Who do you guys think benches more? Kevin Johnson, Giovanni Meyer, or Chris Martin from Coldplay? I'm going to say
Giovanni.
My guess is Giovanni Meyer's gotten strong since he left baseball and got into real estate or whatever.
Well,
so I'm going to guess Giovanni Meyer's maybe in there, been in there lifting, although he was pretty spindly when he was drafted.
I think Giovanni Meyer is still playing baseball.
But is he?
Yeah, I think so. Just not. I don't think it's not for the Astros.
Wait a minute. Are we having Giovanni Meyer night at the Skeeters?
No.
Zoe, is this a commercial? Oh, all right. Let me tell you about Skeeters.com. Wait, is this a commercial?
No, it's not a commercial.
Oh, okay.
Gio Meyer is now an American professional baseball shortstop for the Toros de Tijuana. He plays for the Toros de Tijuana. Yeah.
You know, he used to be a first-round pick.
I know. So every first-round pick wants to work their way up to Tijuana and play there because I'm sure after the game is just as much, if not more fun, than playing baseball for, you know, making big money in, let's say, Milwaukee. I would much rather be playing in Tijuana if you want to know the truth. Better shows than in Milwaukee.
There's a Giovanni Meyer here in LinkedIn that says he's a consultant in Madison, Wisconsin.
No, not
the same one. This guy was VP of engineering. This doesn't say light hitting slappy shortstop.
No, God, none of them say that.
No one would put that in their LinkedIn page.
No, that's not something.
Why don't you just put all glove, no bat in your LinkedIn?
No one's doing that, man.
Let's get Chuck.
I mean,
Chuck's been waiting. He wants to talk on the radio. Let's get him in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Chuck?
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, bud?
I just wanted to comment on a couple things that Lad said earlier about everybody being too politically correct. Because, man, like last week, man, when I said the Pakistani basketball player, how many people you know that are Pakistani love basketball as much as Raheem?
None.
Adele, quite frankly, he does sound white. I'm a fat Dago, and it's all right. Everybody's got a little time. Just have fun with it.
You know, I think Chuck's got a point.
Well, I'm sure Chuck would defend what Lance said. Not that I had an issue with it, considering his point of view. Now, other people might say, hey, don't simply describe me by my ethnicity. Some people might have an issue with that. Some people might say I'm a fully fledged person, not simply to be described by what I look like. That's all. Others might say, shut up. You're Pakistani. You like basketball.
Well, or they could just recognize. You know what, though? He's just recognizing.
Recognizing what?
He's recognizing Raheel's love for basketball as a Pakistani.
Why didn't he just say radio host who loves basketball?
Because he's Pakistani. There's nothing he can do about it. There is nothing that Chuck can do about it. Raheel is Pakistani.
Is there something that Chuck doesn't have to identify Raheel by simply by being Pakistani?
No, he said he's is it not a fact? Is Raheel Pakistani?
Yes.
Does he love basketball?
Yes.
Well, then he's a Pakistani that loves basketball.
But is that all that Raheel is? A Pakistani first and then a basketball lover second?
No, but is he lying about it?
No,
it's the truth. Okay? Do you sound white?
I guess to some people, whatever white sounds like. I'm just saying, maybe I understand why Chuck would feel a certain way because, well, he would back up Lance considering what he said in the past. Chuck backing
back up Lance.
Yes, you heard him.
What did Lance say that was bad? That Twitter loses doesn't have a sense of satire?
I'm not saying what you said was bad, but it's not surprising that Chuck would be fully in your corner.
What are you talking about?
Well, I can see it.
Chuck is, look at me. And he used the D word on himself, John.
He did.
I can't use it because you're Italian.
Dago.
You can say it. I can't say it.
Yeah, he said he was a fat Dago.
Yeah, I can say kraut. Because I can go after my people, the Germans.
Right. I can say WAP or Dago.
I'm pretty sure I can say anything and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. And I can use an Italian accent when you guys can't.
No, the Italian accent's allowed by all. Everyone can use that one, actually.
No,
we're allowed to.
I'm offended. I'm offended.
No one cares that you're offended.
When Lance uses an Italian accent.
Yeah, we don't. No one cares.
No one cares.
The Italians are not covered under any offensiveness policy.
No.
Especially on Twitter. And the Irish are not covered either.
Well, you know, that's
or the English.
You know what I love about the Italians? That they don't care. That you can actually imitate them, and they're not going to be a bunch of wussies about it. How about,
wait a minute. Didn't the Italian American whatever association have a problem with the Sopranos?
Well, they had a problem with the Sopranos, and they had a problem with me.
Well, of course, you.
Because
everyone has a problem with you.
Well, right. Even my own people said, hey, can you stop being offensive to us? I was like, no, well, I can be offensive to us because that's me.
They wrote this in like 2000 before people were super offended. They did. It was so bad that they said, hey, man, what the hell? I thought you were Team Italian. You're killing us. And then John ripped up their letter on the air and threw it in the trash.
That's exactly what happened. Let's catch up. 929 ESPN 975-713-780-37. No show is complete without a Chuck call now. You understand?
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, don't say that out loud. That's like Beetlejuice.
713-780-3776. Work it out.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sam Darnold is doing the car wash on ESPN today? Probably. He's in studio now with Mike Greenberg. Every time I see him, he looks like the evil... Go Google the images for the evil kid in The Incredibles. And this is Sam Darnold.
It's true. It's really true.
He is the evil kid in The Incredibles.
Yep.
And I can't have that as my quarterback, the evil kid. Is there any... So you're saying... So there's a chance that it's going to be Baker Mayfield with the number one overall pick.
I think there's always been a loud voice for Baker in that building with Scott McLuhan. So I think anything's possible right now at number one. Well, I think literally anything is possible with three quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold. I really do. And you know what? Can you imagine? They will consider John Dorsey a hero if he doesn't draft Josh Allen. You could draft anybody. And if you don't draft Josh Allen, they'll consider him a hero in Cleveland because that's how bad it is. They want him fired, and he's never even had a draft.
See, I think that
the rumor of Josh Allen.
Well, they were putting out feelers too. You know what? And that's what LSU did when they were firing Les Miles, and they put out feelers out there, and the fan base reacted, and so they couldn't, and then they had to the next year, two games in or whatever it was. So I mean, just go with your gut. But everybody's got to find out now, how is the public going to react? And there might have been some of that. What is the public going to react if it's Josh Allen? So let's put out there it's going to be Josh Allen and see that the fan base just threw up and they already wanted him fired.
And you really can't. I mean, probably of anything, like a fan base has an opinion on Les Miles. A fan base has an opinion on the guys who play for the pro sports teams. The one thing you never want to do is give a crap about what fans think about draft prospects who they've never watched or rarely watched. I mean, this is a long process that involves finding out about a player's personality, how they handle, you know, adversity behind the scenes from people who know them at their other school, checking their football IQ with film sessions with them and whiteboard, you know, tests. Wonderlic scores, medical examinations. The fans, and I'm including myself here, we don't have any insight unless we hear from somebody directly, and I've got a better chance to hear that than the general fan. We don't know about those things, and teams use all of these features. So for the fans to be up in arms about any draft pick when they just don't know these players very well, and that's one thing if you've watched a player on TV, but there's still a lot that goes into it that you won't have any access to, none, that might change your opinion. But I tell you what, here's an interesting story, John, that I don't think I've ever shared on the air. You and I were doing a show back, and this is like in the – this is in the early stages of us doing a show, really early stages, like first two or three years. And you remember when that story hit that Fran Blindberry had, or it was probably a Jonathan Fagan, that the Rockets were considering, or that, yeah, something about the Rockets, rumor had it, the Rockets were considering trading Hakeem Olajuwon to the Toronto Raptors for two draft picks, including one that became Jonathan Bender. I don't know if you remember that or not. And we took phone calls all day. The place would – remember that girl, the woman Joan, the yeah. Jamaican woman who said she would burn the city to the ground if they traded Hakeem Olajuwon? And it just – people went bananas on our show. There were some people who were okay for it. Dream was clearly past his prime. But it was probably 70-30 against trading Dream. And so there was no and you know, it ended up the Rockets didn't have a trade. I got a phone call that – that afternoon from somebody who was with the Rockets who said, hey, what was the response like on the Dream stuff? I was like, probably about 70-30 anti. And they said, okay, we'll just check and wanted to see what the response was. And I realized at that moment they intentionally leaked that out there so they could gauge what the fans think, because they didn't end up doing it. They didn't trade Dream until the year after. Same thing with the Les Miles thing. They didn't do it until the year after. And then by then, they had lost a lot of the value that they would have potentially had.
And then by then what, Lance?
And by then, they lost all the value that they would have potentially had with Dream.
Yeah.
It was over by the time they did actually trade him. But there are teams who will put stuff out there to gauge the fan base, because that's what the Rockets did before they traded Dream. A year in advance, they put it out there. The fans reacted poorly. They kept Dream. He wasn't a factor. Shaq embarrassed him in the playoffs the next year. And then they ended up, you know, dealing him, but he wasn't worth what. They didn't get much back in return for him.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. I could certainly see that Dorsey. And there's no way that they draft Josh Allen. There's just no way. Josh Allen, by the way, was telling, who was it? I guess it was, anyway, he was telling somebody, it's not a big deal, my inaccuracies. We won eight games.
Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, he told Pro Football Talk, it's not a big deal. Can everybody stop worrying about that? Because we won eight games. So, and you know.
This 56% completion percentage is so overblown.
He never got, the closest he's ever gotten was his JV year in high school. He was at 59.5. He's never been 60% since he started playing football
overrated
at a relatively high level.
His junior year, he threw for 50.8%.
You know who was a 70% passer in high school? Brandon Winbush. Even Brandon Winbush could get to 70% in high school.
Yikes! And look at him now.
Yeah,
he's not gonna. Is he gonna win that job?
I know they had the spring game. I didn't watch much of it. I think he's the starter, but that Austin Book kid is still has a real shot to win it, though.
Yeah, it looked like he does have a shot. Yeah, at Reedley Community College, he was a 49% passer. Josh Allen,
that's probably his receivers weren't very good.
Well, that's it. If your receivers aren't very good, how are you going to complete any passes?
Josh Allen never had good receivers.
Well, I'm sure at Reedley Community College, he didn't have any athletes.
Yeah,
let me tell you what always bothers me, guys. When I always hear these quarterbacks, and you hear people make excuses for quarterbacks, that, well, he's got to have this, well, he's got to have this, well, he's got to have this, then that means your guy's not a dude. And if your guy's a dude, and you want dudes who are going to be top quarterback prospects, you want guys who make other people better. If you got to have, like, well, he needs a running back. Well, he needs – Dan Marino never needed a running back. John Elway had some good wide receivers, some good running backs. There was not – I didn't think there was anything special. You know, Tom Brady, we already know. Peyton Manning's had some great wide receivers. Then he's had – he mostly had great wide receivers. He had very little running game for most of his career. The really good quarterbacks, the really good ones – they don't need a ton around them. They need players who are good, solid to good, and they elevate them and make them better than they actually are. At no time has Josh Allen elevated anyone around him. I hear the same excuse for Josh Rosen. People make the same excuse. Well, he lost wide receivers this year. So did Baker. So did Sam Darnold. I mean, that's college football. You're going to lose wide receivers. Guess what? In free agency, you will lose players as well. If you are always super dependent upon everyone else, then what are you? You're just a guy that has to have everything perfect for you to perform at a good level. I mean, I don't know. I don't consider that to be a special player at all.
I think if you look at the film, at the times that I did miss, my feet were jacked, Allen said. Exactly. That is so true. Some of his footwork, and I don't know if it's because he's tall or whatever, but man, his fundamentals at times is horrible.
So go read my scouting report. You can Google, just put Josh Allen draft profile. And go read what I say. His completion percentage is a problem, but it's not a problem because of necessarily everyday point A to point B inaccuracy. It's a problem because he makes it a problem. He doesn't throw with anticipation, and his footwork is not good. So he is the one who causes himself to have low completion percentage. Yeah, his wide receivers don't get great separation, but it's his own mistakes. It's on him. He throws late, and he doesn't have his feet where they're supposed to be. Those are his mistakes. So the stuff about wide receivers, guess what? If you keep having those same throw slow, I mean, get the ball out slowly without anticipation, and your footwork isn't where it's supposed to be, guess what? You'll have the same exact problems in the pros. And those things are not automatically correctable.
I don't know if Wyoming has any draft eligible or prospects in the next couple of years, but if I'm them, I'm like, what the hell, Josh? Everybody thinks we blow because you can't get us the ball accurately. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that any of those guys.
They may blow, but this Josh Allen circuit's not helping any of them.
No, none of them. 845 ESPN 97.5. Time for me to talk about my peeps over Champion Energy and saving money. The electricity game, what a game it is. Because they can do pretty much whatever they want, okay? It can just fee you to death. And you're like, well, this must be how much it costs because this is what they're charging me. And, oh, look how low their rate is. See, I'm going to go with the lowest rate. Okay. And then when you get your bill, you're like, well, that seems like a lot to pay. And if you actually ever look at your bill, the fees are just unbelievable. Okay, you're going to pay with cash? Well, we're going to have to charge you a fee. You're going to pay with check? We're going to charge you a fee. You're going to pay with a card? Going to charge you a fee. Well, wait a minute. You're charging me a fee for everything. Yeah, because you're going to pay. What? You're charging me a fee because I'm going to pay. Okay, thanks. So if you're looking for a great place, now listen, everybody's got some fees that's involved, but the reason the Champion Energy bills are lower at the end of the month is because they don't kill you, all right? And even if the rates are worse, are not as low as the other places, you're still going to pay less. That's what's happening at Champion. 1560energy.com, 281-653-5090. Promo code 1560 or 1560energy.com.
Welcome to the goodbye.
The wait is over.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance Raheel joins us in about 10 minutes right here on ES, or whenever we get off, right, Raheel? That's how that always works. Lance, I really think that this, well, we saw Gronk, and Gronk says his motorcycle skills, his motorbike skills are definitely he's at the top of his motorbike game. But Brady not being there and allegedly not paying as much attention to football this offseason, I really think that this is, I didn't think, and maybe we'll see this season, well, the Patriots are just back and the Patriots are going to do Patriot things. But I'm sensing some backlash to Belichick.
That's it. No, this is the beginning of the end. You weren't there on Friday. I mentioned this on Friday. I think with Popovich and the Spurs and the New England Patriots, and I mention them because, you know, they deserve to be mentioned together for in a positive light with what they've been able to do. I think this is the end for Pop and the Spurs. With Kawhi, I think, headed out, they don't really have much of a roster. Frankly, there's a lot of holes in the New England roster, too. And this stuff that we heard, first it was about Kraft and Belichick and Brady. Then we heard it really wasn't a bunch of smoke, that there was actually something there to what was said. We know that he has issues with Tom Brady's guru. Then he dressed down Rob Gronkowski in front of the team about him, you know, I guess using Tom Brady's nutritional guru or whatever the case may be. Then Gronk has something that he says to Malcolm Butler, like, be free. Was it Malcolm Butler? No, I think it was Amendola. He said, be happy, be free, which is a strange little thing to put out there. Amendola talks about how the players were upset that Malcolm Butler didn't. You know, I think this Malcolm Butler thing, John, I think that really is a big problem behind the scenes with Patriots players who didn't think they had their best chance to win, and then they get their asses kicked through the air by Nick Foles.
You know, I really think that this could, and I'm like, well, whatever. I think next year they'll be going to be just fine, and they're going to represent once again the AFC. But I think that's going to be it.
Think they're going to represent over Deshaun Watson and the Texans?
Not over Deshaun and the Texans. No, I think that it's going to come down to
maybe the AFC East.
Right. That's what I meant. But how about Week One? Oh, by the way, we haven't even mentioned the schedule and. The Houston Texans opening up against. Now, I think that this will show exactly where this football team is. Bill Belichick has all offseason to get ready for Deshaun Watson. And what's Deshaun Watson going to do? He's going to crush. He's going to destroy. And you're going to find out in a hurry that this football team is real when they go into New England and they kick that ass.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to sell me on it.
Yeah, okay.
I think me, you, Dell, we are all on board with the Deshaun Watson train. I think we're all on board.
Dell, you're on board with this or not?
Yeah, he's on board.
What do you mean, Deshaun Watson doing what again?
Deshaun Watson going into New England kicking their ass.
Yeah, and dominating the Patriots.
Like he did the first time he went there.
Well, he did, but is he leaving Bill O'Brien here?
No, Bill O'Brien's going to.
Oh, well, then I have my questions about how that game's going to go. Because if Deshaun could take, I don't know, some random coach who knows clock management stuff and it doesn't get scared when things get tight, I might actually believe you got a shot. Because the Patriots got their ass kicked by Alex Smith last year in the first game, so there's some precedent for it. But then Deshaun's taking Bill O'Brien with him.
So. Well, no. See, here's the deal. I'm just reading a story here that says the most likely cuts after the draft. And I don't know why after the draft, but maybe June 1st cuts and Lamar Miller is a possibility. If Bill O'Brien can't run Lamar Miller off tackle three times, there's a chance that Deshaun could beat the Patriots. There's a real good chance he could beat the Patriots.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.
Yeah, well, I do. I care about this, Bill.
I don't really care what you say.
Okay, just go in there and stop running Lamar Miller off tackle. Run really Deshaun off tackle.
Deshaun off tackle?
Yeah.
Knee issue Deshaun off tackle?
Snap the ball to Deshaun, run off
tackle. You just
tackle.
Want a quarterback sweep, huh? Or a quarterback off tackle.
That's what I want.
Seems like a bad choice.
Well, maybe to you it is.
I think Deshaun will be fine as long as he's healthy. I just, like I said, I got questions about the guy, you know, making all the decisions.
Any thoughts on the schedule, Lance? At New England, at Tennessee, you get the Giants here in Week 3. At the Colts. Dallas comes here in Week 5. Mexico's team's going to be here. Remember last time?
Well, if you always got to make the reference, because if you remember the last time the Cowboys were in town, they had some fights in the parking lot.
A few.
That kind of changed the way that tailgating rules were applied at the Texans.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you need a ticket to get into the tailgate?
Yeah, and people called in to discuss what happened, and some people were like, it wasn't so bad, or who started it. And then one person, Lance's good friend, Sweet Miller, said, hey, the Cowboys are Mexico's team. Or Mexicans team. I forgot exactly how he put it. And then some of our Mexican listeners are like, wait a minute.
Wait.
I like the Texans. I'm a Texan fan. What are you talking about?
Well, I will say this, though. In Mexico, when the Cowboys play the Texans, it's mostly Cowboy fans.
They've been around longer.
Yeah, they've been around longer. And yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I can certainly see that. Four of the last six are at home. You got Tennessee, Cleveland, Indianapolis, and the Jags in the last week of the season, and then you at the Jets and at Philadelphia. Quite frankly, I mean, that's a pretty, I don't want to say easy way to end a season, especially at Philadelphia and the Jaguars here, but they got a nice little run here where they can, I'll tell you this, if Deshaun stays healthy, this team's back in the playoffs.
Are they favorites?
So they are. So they start off with week one is Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So right off the bat, you get a good test. But then week two, you got Giants.
No, at Tennessee.
That's right, at Tennessee. So your first 2 weeks, you got pretty good challenges. You got a couple of playoff teams. You got pretty good challenges. And then you come home and face the Giants. If you can win, you're going to beat the Giants. If you can win one of the first two, which I do think is definitely possible, you come in 2-1, and I know you mentioned the Colts at the Colts, which – frankly, if you just play the level of football you should play. Now, the Colts were weirdly competitive this year. I don't know if you guys paid attention. Their record was terrible. It was not good. Well, the Texans actually was worse. But the Colts actually had the lead at halftime in like eight of their losses. It's kind of weird. They just blew it in the second half. They had a really terrible third or fourth quarter almost every single game. But I still think if everything's equal, you should be the favorite in Indianapolis to win that.
Absolutely.
But we'll see what happens with Andrew Luck. But it sounds like you've got, three of the first five are on the road. You're going to have a challenge of facing two playoff teams right off the bat, 1-2. But I actually don't mind that start because I think it's a good test for you early in the season. But you got the type of – you got a good finishing schedule. Like, you can kick – you can hit a little kick at the end and maybe go 4-1 in your last five to either hit a 10-win mark or maybe even more if you're able to win some of those games early.
I'm telling you, Deshaun stays healthy, and this team is in the playoffs. And, yeah, that you know, and you can be around a .500 team towards the end of the season, towards those last six games, and win 10 games. All right, Raheel's going to join the fray. 94.1 as well is going to be here. 713-780-3776. Let's talk about the Skeeters. Hey, how about this Friday starts up the schedule? April 27th, fans will receive a magnet schedule at the gates, and a fireworks show will take place immediately after the game. How about that? And then Saturday, hat giveaway, courtesy of Member Source Credit Union, first 2,000 fans. Sunday, strikeout autism, pregame catch on the field, player autographs, as well as postgame kids run the bases. If you've got a church, an organization, a little league team, a school, a birthday, all of these things, get your group together and enjoy everything Constellation Field has to offer. Buffet, party suites, gourmet food, and everything, Lance.
Yeah, if you go to the website, sugarlandskeeters.com, you can see all the games, all the dates, all the specials that they have for each of those games. But here's the great thing about the Skeeters. They really go above and beyond for customer service. So they want you to have a great time, whether you're bringing the little league team or you're bringing an entire group of, you know, of business people, of executives. Just you want to take care of if you own a business, you want to take care of people and get a suite. They'll do whatever it takes to make you happy because they want you coming back again and again and again. And with the stadium's beautiful, the food is great, the drink is great, there's a place for kids out in center field. There's so much for everyone there, and they've got, like I said, every single game, they've got something special going on for you. Go to SugarLandSkeeters.com and get your tickets today, including that 10-game flex book where you can get the 10 games to go enjoy yourself right now in the great spring weather. It's SugarLandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5.